number 248. I wrote wrong.
Hey, women.
You stirred them up doing something.
Thank you.
here in time enough to tell me whether she was singing or not.
Of sin and sorrow, a humble babe in a manger in Bethlehem. But this time he's coming in all his power. Great kings of earth will bow and worship his great name. Glory, not just a Savior, but a reigning King, coming soon, and the whole world will be witness. All be ready, for he is coming soon. Find the power of old Satan, little children with the lamb and lion will play. All the earth will be so filled with his glory. No need for crying, for all tears are wiped away. In all his glory, not just a Savior, but a reigning King, coming soon, and the whole world will be witness. All be ready, for he is coming soon.
Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Caleb says, somebody get hit with that, it'll hurt. Chapter 10, Ecclesiastes. Well, we'll finish chapter 10. We got two chapters left. And throughout the summer, us being away on Wednesdays so much, it's like taking quite a while to get through Ecclesiastes, but we'll be through it in probably another month. Move on somewhere else. Now, I'm going to take some time and review the 10th chapter since it's been 2 weeks since I've been going through it, and then bring up the last thing that's talked about here in this chapter. Now, we said in chapter 10 that there are three things that King Solomon deals with. He referred to them back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Verses 19 through 21. Those three things are folly, foolishness, and slothfulness. And we have dealt with folly and foolishness. Let me give you a breakdown of what we've talked about, and then we'll finish up tonight on the last one, that slothfulness. Chapter 10, in verses 1 and 6, he dealt with the subject of folly. And folly, we said, was characterized by this thought: watch how you feel. If I judged my life, and if I directed my life based on how I feel, I wouldn't get much done. Many people live every day of their lives with physical infirmities. And if they gave in to their physical infirmities, they'd never get out of bed. Disease can do that to you. I can speak from experience that sometimes my diabetes can make me feel so badly that I just, if it was my druthers, I probably wouldn't do anything. But you just have to make yourself do things, because the world waits for no man. So we can't do things based on how we feel. But a person who is driven by folly does what they do based on their feelings. Now, their feelings, we showed in verse 1, we saw a desire for the wrong admiration. Some people just want to be praised. They want somebody to just brag on them and talk about them and how wonderful they are and how magnificent they are. And they don't care what they have to do to get that admiration. Now, that's dangerous. And then in verse number 6, he talked about the desire for the wrong acceptance. And that leads into that, because we see people, I don't understand. Like, for instance, we're talking in prayer time just a little while ago. Why would anybody want to take a child and do such physical damage to a child? Why would anybody want to take a hero like that soldier and just kill him when he faced the enemy on foreign soil? And God brought him back, and as was pointed out, then was a blessing to a child to finish paying for his meal at McDonald's. I don't understand those things. A lot of things I don't understand. And like we talked about earlier, I think it's indicative of the fact that Jesus is coming again. I don't think it's going to be long. It can't be. Man is too wicked. And I look at our nation, and I see our nation, and I see the way our nation's going. I don't like what I see. Sad. And you look at the news, and they are bragging on the president, and they're bragging on the president's wife, and all these things. And you have to look at what people stand for. And if they stand for what's wrong, how do you support that? They can have the nicest personality in the world, but if they're not standing for the right thing, I don't care how nice and bubbly and effervescent and smiling and everything else, if they're standing for the wrong thing. Did not the Bible talk about the fact that there are wolves in sheep's clothing? Trying to be what? Trying to be innocent. Okay? So those are just examples. So if you base your life on how you feel, you're in trouble. If you base your life by the way other people feel, you're in trouble. You better hope people don't treat you on the job the way they feel. If not, you'll be fired. Because there are people that will fire you in a heartbeat based on how badly they feel and take it out on you, and you didn't do anything to deserve it. Okay? So that's a person characterized by folly. Then we talked about how people who are characterized by foolishness. Now, what did we say folly was? Folly is watching how you feel. Foolishness is watching what you are. Now, don't worry. If you're afraid somebody's going to tag you as a fool, don't worry. What they see and what they hear, they'll find out real quick. Because it is what you are. What you are comes out. What you are, your behavior, your actions, your attitude. You know, it's there. And you might fool people for a while. But the real me, the real you, is going to come out. Somewhere down the line, we're going to let down our guard. And we're going to just, oh man, look at there. For instance, there are people that I know and you know that are very unprofessional people. There are certain jobs. When you're dealing with John Q. Public, there are some jobs that if you're dealing with the public, you need to be nice. But I'm telling you, you know like I do. I know Miss Teresa was talking about when they were in Georgia going to McDonald's and said they dreaded going to that McDonald's because they learned that woman was not the nicest person in the world. I've gone into offices where there are secretaries, and the secretaries will look at you like, and you're here for what reason? You know, I mean, they don't say that, but that's the way they act. And then I've seen some of them, and I've heard some of the things that come out of people's mouth, and I was like, well, excuse me for breathing. You know, that's the way you feel about it, because there's just a certain, it comes out. It just comes out, okay? And so, you know, when you meet somebody that's a sweetheart and a blessing and a great woman, a great guy, whatever, man, you just pray to keep the job you got because you're an easy person to get along with. But then there's just some people it's like. So watch what you are. And we talked about, there was about, I think, seven things, and I'm not really going to go into those things. I'll list them. I'll just say them and repeat them. We talked about how in verse 2, the foundation of a fool is irresponsibility. In verse 3, the nature of the fool is transparent. In verse 4, the convictions of the fool are shallow. In verses 8 through 10, the will of the fool is unbroken. Verses 11 through 14, his mouth is untamed. In verse 15, his direction is uncertain. And then in verses 11 through 7, or 16 through 17, his leadership is questionable. So a foolish person. It doesn't take time to spot him. Now, last thing he says, and it's just interesting this trio that he brings up, because like we said, he talks about it over in Proverbs, and then he talks about it again here. So that's something that's very much something you link together. These three Siamese triplets, if there is such a creature, are together. And that's something we need to pay attention to. Now, here's the third one. The word is slothfulness. That's the word the Bible uses, slothfulness or sloth. You ever seen a sloth in pictures? Sloth is a big, old, ugly beast. It's lazy, it's lazy around, but they've got two big mandible claws. And they can dig if they want to. Problem is they don't want to. Because most of the time you see a sloth just laying around, and that's where the word comes to associate it with being lazy. Okay? Now let's look at the last three verses as he talks about slothfulness. Verses 18, 19, and 20 of chapter 10. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and a wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Cursed, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Now there are three things he talks about here that characterize a slothful person, a lazy person. All right, number one, you can recognize a lazy person by his work. Now look at verse 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth. How many of you old timers like me remember an old movie series? I love that movie series, one of my favorites. Ma and Pa Kettle. Anybody remember Ma and Pa Kettle? And I love that old series because there was an actor named Percy Kilbride, and he played Pa Kettle, and that was the sorriest man. He was just lazy. He wouldn't do anything. And he'd go up to people and he'd say, you know, he'd borrow a hammer and nails. Never give them back, you know. And the house, in the movie, in the original movie, the first movie was called The Egg and I, and they lived in this old ramshackle place, and it's because Pa didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. And then there was a movie called Mom, Pa, Kettle, and they won a house and through a sweepstakes that Pa had entered. And I just always thought to myself, and they never explained it through the movie series, Ma always had food to feed those, 13 kids they had. And it's like, okay, where did they get the money? Because Pa never worked. And I don't know if they ever had what they used to call relief back in those days or not. But you see that principle. But if you see the old house, they'd go back to that old house every now and then and walk inside. The screen door would fall down and they'd step, and then there'd be a wood board that hit, step down, bam, right in the face. And then they'd step another place and the foot would go on the floor, through the floor down to the ground. And that's a perfect example of what the Bible is talking about here when it talks about by slothfulness. It says by much slothfulness, the building decayeth. Okay? I mean, a slothful person is not going to do, what's that old saying? How'd that old saying go? Not going to hit a lick with a stick? Is that the way? Something like that. Okay, yeah. I mean, he's not going to do it. He's going to do what? Bible talks about a slothful man is one who sleeps all day, never gets up out of the bed, never does anything. I mean, you're not going to make it that way. You can't do that. And the Bible says that a person who is slothful, his house, his living headquarters, if he doesn't get up and do something, it's going to fall down. It's going to decay. You know, and so, you know, you see houses, you see, you know, for instance, now I'm not trying to be rude or ugly, but I think it's always been fascinating to me to drive by a trailer, and this old, dirty, nasty-looking trailer with a big satellite dish on the outside. You ever seen that? Yeah, don't you love to see people driving Cadillacs using food stamps? I mean, it's just crazy. And then I see people that really have needs, and they never get help. But I'm thinking to myself, now here's somebody that's their house, their home is hideous looking, about to fall apart, and they got a satellite. How do they afford the satellite? Satellite's not cheap. But how do they do that? And yet their house is in complete total disarray. All right, Bible says if that continues on, what happens to the building? Falls apart. All right, look at the next statement. It says, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Okay? Now, you know, I guess Pa Kettle thought that somehow, like in that old movie Fantasia, you know, where Mickey is a wizard and he waves his wand or whatever he does and everything starts mopping itself, you know? All right? Wouldn't that be nice? Do you wish sometimes you were Samantha? Twinkle that nose. And that, you know, Darren was dumb. Darren was an idiot. I mean, you got a wife that can provide everything, and he's like, he hates it. You know, and it's like, you ain't right in the head, son. But there are times where you just wish you had those kind of gifts and abilities. All right? But the reality is, uh-uh. That's right, uh-oh. Especially when that rain starts dripping through that roof and you have to go get buckets. You're going to be saying, uh-oh, because somebody didn't do something. Okay? All right. I mean, you know, not everybody has the ability to do certain things, but I mean, you know, sometimes you got to put ahead. You may have to work extra hours at your own job so that you can get the money together to pay somebody to do what needs to be done. But either way you go, if you leave everything totally alone, you got a horrible situation. And the Bible says that you can tell a slothful person by their work ethic or lack thereof. What's so sad is that some people who are slothful do not know they have that problem. So the Bible is very clear. A slothful person, you can tell a slothful person by their work. Notice the second thing you will notice a slothful person in verse 19, by his wealth. Now let's talk about that. You mean, is a slothful person wealthy? Some are. How many movies have you ever watched through the years where you had a scenario or a story plot line where you had a rich person and they had a brat of a child? And in that movie, they gave them everything they wanted and the child was a brat, and then finally, at the end of the movie, they finally learned their lesson and put the board of education to the seat of the problem. Now, that's in a movie scenario. But there are people, according to what we see, that are that way. They're rich and they're given things and they're basically spoiled and they're brats and they get anything they want and they're never disciplined and they're very hard and difficult people to work with because as long as they got the money, they can do what they want to do. But what do you do when you don't have the money that you want to do? How does a slothful person approach that? Look back at verse 19 again. A feast is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Here's where a slothful person handles money. He or she will do whatever it takes to get a dollar bill and do so at a minimum effort. Understand that? Anything, key word, anything. If they steal, they'll steal. If they do something physical, trying to be nice here, as far as the flesh is concerned, that's immoral and wrong in God's eyes, they'll do it. How many times have I heard stories, and you have too, of young men and young ladies that allowed themselves to be caught up on drugs and sell things out of their parents' homes or steal money out of their mother's or grandmother's purses? Sorriness. Because what does it say about money? It says, but money answereth all things. As far as they're concerned, money is it. But to get what they want, they're not going to work for it. But if they can lie, steal, cheat, deceive, just like the story of Taco Bell. Thank God nobody was injured. Thank God. If somebody is so desperate to steal money, that's frightening if you think about it. Because people will hurt you at the drop of a hat over just a few dollars. It's ridiculous. But money answereth all things. And so you learn a slothful person by not only his work, but his wealth. Then look at verse 20. Here's the third thing he says. You can recognize a slothful person by his words. Now, let's follow our scenario so far about a slothful. A slothful person doesn't do anything much. Well, all right, if they don't do much, then what is the opposite? What do they do? Eat. Sleep. Eat. Sleep. Eat. Sleep. And this verse says there's a third thing. They run their mouths. Now, let's look at it. Come not, you don't have to leave yet. Curse not the king. Know not in thy thought. and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Ever heard this old saying? I know you have. Little bird told me. Came out of the Bible, didn't it? We don't say it the way the Bible said it, but that's the principle. Little bird told me this. Now, what does a slothful person do? Eat, sleep, talk. People have never learned James chapters 2 and 3 that the fires of hell are sat on the lips of clay. Now, if you're working, guess what? You don't have a lot of time to run your mouth. One of the things that's characteristic of America is the fact that on TV, for instance, you have all these game shows and all these talk shows. And all these talk shows do, if you've ever noticed, the only purpose in those talk shows is to do two things. It plugs somebody's new movie. And number two, it stirs up trouble. Because you hear these, you read little things about how this particular movie star is mad at this movie star because this movie star said something about... I read something the other day about somebody that made a statement about another movie star's dog dying. And that movie star, who by the way is a real big dude, said concerning little dude, said, I'm going to beat him up because he was upset that he had defamed his dog. Well, you know what? Just keep your mouth shut. It's just some things. Some people do treat animals a whole lot better than they treat human beings. You know? And you got to be real careful about that. I know some people. I know some people that they would fight you if you ever even looked at their pet in a wrong way. Now, as far as their human beings are concerned, they don't care. They don't care. But don't you misbehave that dog. Don't you mistreat that dog. Don't mistreat that cat. Don't you pluck a feather out that parakeet. You know? But now you can go and, let's be honest, but you can abort a child. That's fine. Strange thoughts we have today. Okay. And a slothful, lazy person, according to verse 20, because what he's got to learn, what she's got to learn, is that whatever you say, if you keep running your mouth long enough, it's going to come back and bite you. What it says, curse not the king. You go curse the king. See, back in those days, the king had power to take your life. No, not even in your... Don't even entertain it in your thought, because if you entertain it in your thought, it's going to come out your mouth anyway. That's what he says. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Just don't lie in your bed and just curse and say, why is it everybody's rich and I'm not? That's a big thing now, isn't it? When you think about it, people today, that's all you see on the news, television, newspapers, radio, internet. Everybody's trying to get rich. And they tell you how to be rich. But there's a reason why not everybody's rich. I don't think we have anybody in here rich. If it is, let me meet with you, talk to you later. All right? I want to know how you did it. All right? All those years at Kmart, And it's like, you know, not everybody's rich. Duh. You know? I mean, not everybody's going to be rich. Duh. All right, there are some people that do real well and they can make money turn over and everything. And there's some people just struggle all their lives. It's okay, it's all right. Don't go on. He said, don't lay in your bedchamber and just run off at the mouth and just feel sorry for yourself. He said, because whatever you say, whoever you're talking to, he said, there's going to be a bird of the air that's going to carry what you say. And somebody's going to see it and hear it. And they're going to say, I don't appreciate what you see. What do you mean what I see? Well, you said so-and-so about me. Well, no, I didn't. No, yes, you did. Witnesses said blah, 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 blah. And here's the thing. If you run your mouth enough, you forget half of what you say. But somebody won't forget. Somebody won't. And a slothful person just runs his or her mouth constantly, 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 constantly. Why? Because they got too much time on their hands. And that's a mark of a lazy person. So it's interesting that as he closes out the chapter, three things he talks about concerning people: folly, watch how you feel, don't base your life on emotions and feelings, it won't work. Watch what you are, because where your character is going to show up. And then slothfulness, watch what you do. Watch what you do. And that laziness will come out if you're slothful. Now, I know that everybody needs a downtime, everybody needs relaxing time, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but when you've got something that, as we said, just won't strike a, what is it, hit the snake with a stick or whatever, you know, it's a problem. That's a character problem. And you just, I think if the truth be known, every one of us, if we'd all be honest, you know, if we had our druthers, we wouldn't do anything. That's the flesh. But we have to. We have no choice in the matter. We have to. We have to work. We have to do things we don't enjoy. I don't think there's a person sitting right here today that's ever worked every job you've ever worked. I don't know that we would all say, well, I've enjoyed every job I've ever worked. I can't say that. I've worked some whoppers I did not enjoy, and it gave me, if nothing else, an incentive to find a better one. But I think all of us have come to that place where you say, well, because if everything we do in this life is based upon how it makes us feel good, let's just go to the house, lock the door, keep everybody out, because there's always something that's going to be tough, something's going to be hard, something's going to be difficult. But you know what? We persevere. We work. We do what we have to do. And the Bible, just like I think I told you the story about the preacher that a young man came to him, healthy young man. He said, yeah, I heard you preaching on the family. And he said, you know, he said, I draw unemployment. And he said, I'm not looking for a job because, you know, I'm spending my time with my family. And he said, I don't know. I know God wants me to spend time with my family, and so I'm just going to keep drawing unemployment. Well, I kind of think he took that thing out of context. Because God that gives us the command to love our family and spend time with our family also tells us the sweat of the brow. So, interesting thoughts. Interesting thoughts, he says, in this 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. All right. We're going to pray, sister. We won't have an invitation. Let's just pray. Let's just do that. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the great truth. Solomon was a tremendously wise man, but he became wise because he learned by trial and error also, and he judged it by the Word of the Lord. And we pray that you will help us to learn the things that we need to learn from the Scriptures. Speak to our hearts and meet every need of every heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before Brother Will comes and receives the offering, this is one thing I want us to talk about just for a second, and that is we want to get a couple of things for our kids' Bible blast. Let me look at here. Cheapest thing that I think, and you can correct me, Miss Pam, if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking the very first thing on top here is the, what do they call it, the sports bouncer. And that's $175 to rent that. And then the prices start going up from there. This is from Big Sky Rent.